If you have your Bibles, John chapter number 1, I want to bring a thought this morning that's in my heart. If you'll stand in reverence to the Word of God with me, I'll just read verse 6 down through verse number 10 and try to bring the message the Lord's put on my heart. I thank you for being here, and I appreciate so very much the kind words. I've always felt it awkward, but the Lord knows. He knows my heart. Amen. Anybody? Start reading verse 6. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. That's my text today. Aren't you glad for men Amen. That are sent from God? One time I was in a battle in the pastorate, was not here. And a man looked at me and he said, I think your problem is you want to please all these preachers around Kingsport. Brother Don, so help me. Even though you were one of them at the time, Brother Don, I said, those aren't the preachers that I have on my mind. It's one blaze to trail. The ones that stood true to the Word of God. The ones that have been willing to pay the price, like Brother J.W., Brother Ralph. Those are the ones, beloved. These in the Word of God, like the Apostle Paul, like John the Baptist. I tell you, there ought to be a desire in our heart to please God and not to let these down, amen, that have blazed the trail before us. The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. Well, that tears up a lot of doctrine right there, don't it? That tears up that doctrine that God's picked out this many for heaven and this many for hell. Because John said, I'm bringing a light that all men might believe. He was not that light, but he was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light. Now I want you to look at this, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. But I'm going to tell you something right now. There ain't nobody going to be in hell and have an excuse for being there. They're without excuse. He was in the world, and the world was made by him. I want you to think about this, especially in our generation, and the world knew him not. But I would tell you, somebody ought to shout this morning just because you know him. Do you know him? I didn't ask if you knew about him. I said, do you know him? Do you know him in the free pardon of sin? Have you talked to him this morning? Has he talked to you this morning? It's a blessing, ain't it? Let's pray. You can be seated. Father, thank you for the Word of God. Thank you for your people. Thank you for stirring my heart. God, I pray this morning, Lord, you'd stir us up by way of remembrance. Help us, our Father, in the message today. God, I need your help. Lord, I pray this morning that folks would do your will. Those that are saved would do your will. Those that are lost, our Father, would surrender Throw up the white flag and come to Calvary. I pray, Lord, today you'd have your way. God will give you glory. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. I want to preach a message today that I hope will be an encouragement in your heart, in your life. Just simply entitled, There Was a Man Sent from God. What would it be like if every wife looked at their husband and said, There was a man sent from God? What would it be like if every child was able to look at their father and say, There was a man sent from God? What would it be like if every body in the church looked at their pastor and said, There was a man sent from God? In other words, God, you put him in my life. You say, Pastor, I don't know what you're getting at. The Word of God said that John the Baptist was a man that was sent from God. And I believe with all of my heart this morning, when I begin to examine his character and begin to examine his life, that we can understand why. I give you three things. Don't get too excited. The first one will probably take an hour. But I'm going to give you three things that God put in my heart about John the Baptist. The first thing is he boldly declares the Word of God. That's a man that's sent from God. Whether it's in the home, whether it's in the church, it's a man that's willing to boldly declare the Word of God. I found out that not too long ago, I stood in this pulpit and I made some statements about a particular sin. And there was somebody that was seated in the congregation. That particular sin was going on in a relationship close to that family. Let me tell you something right now, beloved. Listen to me carefully. If you love God, you'll love the man of God that preaches the Word of God. Whether it hits you, your family, somebody help me. I'm just telling you, beloved, listen, John the Baptist wasn't taking a survey to see who liked it and who didn't. He was just going to stand for the truth of the Word of God and boldly declare the Word of God. The first thing I want you to notice is that he had a plain ministry. You say, Pastor, what do you mean? Well, the Bible said in Mark chapter 1 that John was clothed with camel's hair and with a girdle of skin about his loins, and he did eat locusts and wild honey. I don't believe there was anything flowery about John's ministry. I believe he was plain Jane, so to speak. Amen. I believe John, I don't believe anybody that encountered John, Brother Steve, left there scratching their head saying, I wonder what he said. Or I wonder what he meant. I'm telling you, he was a man that was plain, not only in his living, but he was plain in his speech and in his preaching. Amen. The Word of God said in Luke chapter 7 and verse 24, and when the messengers of John were departed, he began to speak unto the people concerning John. What went ye out in the wilderness to see? A reed shaken with the wind? What went ye out to see? A man clothed in soft raiment? Behold, they which are gorgeously appareled and live delicately are in the king's courts. But what went ye out to see? A prophet? Yea, Jesus said, I say unto you, and much more than a prophet. John was a plain man. He was plain in his ministry. He was plain in his message. He had a message concerning repentance. John wouldn't have even fit in some of the Baptist churches today. The word of God said in Matthew chapter 3 and verse number 1, in those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Beloved, John didn't come saying, let's turn the Bible around. John came saying, let's preach the Bible and let the Bible turn us around. We need to repent. My people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face. Turn from their wicked ways. Then will I hear from heaven. I'll forgive their sin and I'll heal their land. You don't have to believe what I'm saying. But if there's not a turning soon in this land, we're not even going to have a land. We're not even going to have a country if we don't turn back to this kind of simple, plain ministry. This plain message. John had a plain message concerning repentance. John had a plain message concerning regeneration. You say, Pastor, what do you mean? In John chapter 3 and verse 36, if you have your Bible open, look at it, would you? Underline it, would you? I'm telling you, John had a message that was plain. He said in John 3:36, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. And he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. You say, Pastor, what does that mean? Let me tell you what it means. It means exactly what it says. It means, beloved, that if a person knows Christ in the free pardon of sin, they have everlasting life. But without Christ, the wrath of God abideth on that individual. He was plain in his message. The Bible said in John chapter 1 and verse 16, and of this fullness have we all received, and grace for grace. John knew something about the grace of God. He said the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth comes by Jesus Christ. Aren't you glad, beloved, listen for this man that was sent from God. He was a plain man, plain in his ministry. He was plain in his message. I thank God for that, don't you? I'm going to give you something this morning. I want you to just think about it with me for just a few minutes. Not only was John boldly declaring the Word of God, he was involved in a plain ministry, but I want to give you this. He was involved in a precious ministry. Let me say this to you. You say, well, Pastor, you're talking about preaching. Let me tell you something, beloved. Listen to me carefully. This is what the book of Peter said. Unto you, therefore, which believe. How many can raise your hand right there? This is what the Bible said. Unto you, therefore, which believe, he is precious. Beloved, listen, just because John the Baptist is the forerunner of the Lord Jesus Christ, and just because his ministry is precious, doesn't mean that your ministry is not just as important and just as precious. I'm talking about the ministry in your home, the ministry on the job, the ministry in the neighborhood. Whatever it is God has given you to do in the kingdom of God, if he is precious to you, then that job that he has given you ought to be precious as well. Precious in the beginning. Turn with me to Luke chapter number 1, please. Luke chapter number 1 for just a moment. I'm talking about a man. He had a plain ministry. But not only was his ministry plain, but his ministry was precious as well. Think about it in the beginning. In Luke chapter number 1, we'll begin reading in verse number 35. Look what the Word of God said here. And the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing that shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. This is referring to Mary. And behold, Elizabeth, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age. And this is the sixth month with her, who was called barren. For with God nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. I'm wanting you to see how John got his start. And Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste into a city of Judah and entered into the house of Zacharias and saluted Elizabeth. And it came to pass when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, I want you to look at this, the babe leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. And she spake with a loud voice and said, Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. I'm telling you, beloved John, this is talking about the ministry of John the Baptist. He's in Elizabeth's womb. He heard about this man that's coming called Jesus that he couldn't hold still. He leaped in his mother's womb. The word of God said, And whence is this to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For lo, as soon as the voice of thy salutation sounded in mine ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. I'm telling you something, beloved, listen to me. It's important, amen. Even in the womb, the babies are important to God. And God's got his hand on this young man, amen, before he ever comes out and breathes his first breath of air. John the Baptist has heard about a man called Jesus, and he leaps with joy. I believe it was Charity. It was, because our first two children, I did not go back there with Miss Eve. You say, why didn't you? Because I was a chicken. I thought you were just supposed to walk back and forth out in the hallway and get you some, either some real cigars or some bubblegum cigars or something and give them out. And I thought that's what a dad was supposed to do. But the second two children, Charity and Elizabeth, I said second two children, same wife, just 8 years in between, okay, amen. I'm trying to tell the story right so you'll understand. I'd been saved. Brother Steve, I wanted to go. Charity came out of there. I tell you, that doctor got paid a whole lot just to catch a football. I'm telling you, I told the doctor later, I said, man, I can catch a football. Amen. But anyway, when that baby came out of there, whenever I would speak, Charity was. And that nurse noticed it. That nurse, Brother Craig, said, she knows that voice. My wife looked at her and said, she ought to. She's been listening to him preach for 9 months. I'm going to tell you something right now, beloved. Listen to me. Listen to me. A baby right here ain't no reason to stay away from the house of God. Are you listening to me? A baby right here ought to be able to hear mama praying. Ought to be able to hear daddy praying. Ought to be able to hear pastor preaching. I'm telling you, beloved, he's getting off to a good start even in the womb. His life is going to count. It's precious. You look at Luke chapter 1. Go over to verse 57 with me for just a moment. I thought this was something. Now Elizabeth's full time came that she should be delivered. And she brought forth a son. And her neighbors and her cousins heard how the Lord had showed great mercy upon her. And they rejoiced with her. And it came to pass that on the eighth day, they came to circumcise the child. And they called him Zacharias, after the name of his father. You see, they thought they were doing him a favor. We'll name him after his daddy. Watch this now. And the mother answered and said, Not so, but he shall be called John. You say, Pastor, I don't know what all this means. Stay with me a minute. And they said unto her, The name of thy kindred, there is none of thy kindred that is called by this name. And they made signs to his father. You remember, beloved, Zacharias couldn't speak because he didn't believe. And God just made him dumb for a little while. I'm not talking about dumb intellectually. I'm talking about he couldn't speak. And the word of God said here, they made signs to his father how he would have called, have him called. And he asked for a writing table and he wrote, saying, His name is John. You say, Pastor, what does all this mean? And his mouth opened immediately and his tongue loose and he spake and he praised God. I'm telling you, beloved, listen. If you look up the meaning of the name John, it's derived from the Hebrew Yohanan, which meaning grace by God. I'm telling you, beloved, listen, John was a man that was graced by God in the beginning, in his life, even in the end. I'll get to that after a while. He was graced by God. And anybody that's been graced by God wants others to be graced by God and to experience the grace of God. It was precious in its beginning. He was precious. His ministry was precious at the baptism of Jesus. I would be just like John, no less. Jesus come to me and said, you need to baptize me. I said, oh, no, I need to be baptized of you. No, we got this backwards here, Lord. He said, no, suffer it to be so now to fulfill all righteousness. Brother Steve, what would it be like to be the man that had the Son of God in your hands? And to dip him in the Jordan River. What would it be like, beloved, to hear the Spirit of God, see the Spirit of God come down like a dove? Hear a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. I believe that's a baptism, Brother Don, we'd never forget. Amen. Now, I'm telling you, beloved, it was precious to John. Amen. To get to baptize the Lord Jesus. I'll tell you something right now, beloved. Baptism had never saved anyone, but everybody had saved or to be baptized. Now, I'll go along with this too. Brother Steve mentioned it. It was in my heart early this morning. I almost thought about just having the church, just having the members of the church to stand. It'd probably surprise you. That'd be about half of the ones that's here this morning. You say, Pastor, what's church membership? I'll tell you what it is. It's a commitment. It's saying to the body of Christ, I'm in there with you. It's saying to the pastor, we're going to back you. It's saying to the mission program, we're going to get behind it, amen, and do what we can. It's accountability. And beloved, listen, if you'll read your church covenant, listen, if the day comes and I have to leave here, I'm looking for a place to join up somewhere else. You say, why, Pastor? Because I made a covenant with this church when I joined it. And I don't think there's anything wrong, beloved, with having a say in the work of God and having accountability in the work of God. We're all going to be accountable to Him one day after a while. Anyway, if you think you're going to escape that, you're crazy. We're going to stand before Him. John, we see it's precious. And then turn back to John chapter 3. Let me show you a verse here. Not only is His ministry precious in the beginning, precious at the baptism of Jesus, but it's precious as He fellowships with the bridegroom. I want you to see this in John chapter 3. This was very special to me when I read it again. Let's begin reading in verse number 27. There was some people upset about the baptizing, and John was baptizing in verse number 23. And John was not yet cast into prison. In verse 25, there arose a question between some of John's disciples and the Jews about purifying. They came to John in verse 26. He said, Rabbi, he that was with thee beyond Jordan, to whom thou bearest witness, behold, the same baptizeth, and all men come to him. They thought they was going to get John tore up. They thought they was going to get John to be jealous. Now let's read it. Verse 27, John answered and said, a man can receive nothing except to be given him from heaven. Boy, wouldn't that be good? Say amen if every one of God's children would realize that. We don't have anything but what we didn't get from the God of heaven. He gives us every good thing. The Bible said, ye yourselves bear me witness that I said, I am not the Christ, but that I am sent before him. Verse 29, he that hath the bride is the bridegroom. I love these words, but the friend, glory to God. John the Baptist, beloved, considered it to be precious just to be a friend of the bridegroom. He said, but the friend of the bridegroom, which standeth and heareth him, rejoiceth greatly of the bridegroom's voice. This my joy, therefore, is fulfilled. Watch this now. They come to try to poke at John a little bit. Jesus over there baptizing. John said he must increase. Oh, glory to God. Anything that's going on in the life of the child of God that would cause us to get to a place and say, he must increase, I must decrease. That's precious in the ministry of John the Baptist. He boldly declares the word of God. Beloved, I don't know about you, but that's a blessing to me. Not only, listen, is his ministry a plain ministry and a precious ministry, but it's a pointing ministry. You say, Pastor, I don't know what you mean. John's entire ministry was not pointing to himself. It was pointing men and women and boys and girls to the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. Beloved, listen, you study about the Holy Ghost. Jesus said when he's come, he's going to speak of me. He don't speak of himself. John never spoke of himself. He pointed others to Christ. The Spirit of God don't speak of himself. He points others to the Son of God. Watch it with me. Look in John chapter number 1. Let's read just a few verses here. In verse number 6, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. Did you know that Jesus told his disciples, as I am in the world, so are ye. I'm sending you forth. God wants us to be witnesses unto him. Look at verse number 15. John bare witness of him and cried, saying, this is he of whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. Thank God John was pointing others to Christ. In verse number 20, he confessed and denied not, but confessed, I am not the Christ. In verse 26, John answered them, saying, I baptize you with water, but there standeth one among you whom you know not. He it is who's coming after me is preferred before me, whose shoe latchet I'm not worthy to unloose. These things were done in Bethabara beyond Jordan, where John was baptizing. The next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, behold the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world. If there's a pastor that's sent from God, he's not standing saying, look at me. If there's a daddy that's sent from God, he's not raised up in that house telling his children and his wife, look at me. Beloved, I want you to know this. John the Baptist gave us the example. Beloved, in his ministry, not, I'm just telling you, he's pointing others to Christ. A daddy that's worth his salt. He's pointing his children to Christ. A pastor that's worth his salt. An evangelist that's worth his salt is pointing others to Christ. Because, beloved, as much as we would love to, we cannot give people what they need. Only Christ can do that. Let me give you these last couple of things. We see that he boldly declares the word of God. I want to give you this, just a thought that God put in my heart. He battled doubt in the will of God. You say, Pastor, why would you mention that? There was a man sent from God. Some people say, well, if a man sent from God, he would never have any doubts. John's down there in the prison. Y'all know the story. He tells his disciples, go ask Jesus, art thou he, or should we look for another? He had a season where he just didn't know. And God put it in the Word of God. So that people like you and people like me, when we get in a season where we're not sure about some things, we'll know that God's not waiting to drop the hammer on us. God said, you just go tell John, the lame walk, the deaf hear, the blind see, the dead are raised, the gospel's preached to the poor. I don't believe they even got it all out of their mouth until John said, that's him. I ain't got nothing to worry about. That's him! And he did that in the will of God, folks. He wasn't out of God's will. He was in God's will. We've got a bunch today. Anybody have any little problem at all? Well, they must be out of the will of God. Well, they might be. But I'll tell you this, honey, they might not be. They might be closer to God than anybody you know. He battled doubt in the will of God. John's pointing others to Jesus. What he's saying, it's not about me, it's about him. I'm reminded of something. I'd give him credit if I could remember who said it, but years ago, I heard a man say, Jesus will make much of the church that makes much of him. We start making much of ourselves, we're missing it. We've got to make much of him. Make much of him. Then I give you this and I'm done. He was beheaded in death on his way to God. You remember that John's preaching upset Herod. He told him, it's not lawful for you to have your brother's wife. So they put him in prison. They got down there and got to partying. And they had a request. You know what they wanted? John the Baptist's head on a charger. And the king didn't even want to do it. He didn't like it, but he had to do it. He was committed. At least he thought he was. But they didn't understand that when they cut John's head off, and this heart and these lungs stopped breathing, his next breath was on the other side, waiting on the resurrection of the Lord. I read this. I hope it'll be a blessing to you. A fellow by the name of Hugh Latimer, he once preached before King Henry VIII. Henry was greatly displeased by the boldness in the sermon, and he ordered Latimer to preach again on the following Sunday and apologize for the offense that he had given. The next Sunday, after reading his text, he thus began his sermon. He said, Hugh Latimer, dost thou know before whom thou art this day to speak? To the high and mighty monarch, the King, most excellent majesty, who can take away thy life if thou offendest. Therefore take heed that thou speakest not a word that may displease. But then consider well, Hugh, dost thou not know from whence thou comest, upon whose message thou art sent, even by the great and mighty God, who is all present, and who beholdeth all thy ways, and who is able to cast thy soul into hell. Therefore take care that thou deliverest thy message faithfully. He then preached the same sermon he had preached the preceding Sunday, and with considerable more energy. I don't know Hugh Latimer, but I tell you what I can tell you about him. I'll tell you this about him. He was a man sent from God. God's men, listen to me. There's several of you sitting here today. Don't ever back up. Don't ever apologize for what thus saith the Word of God. There'll come a day, one day, when maybe we can hear the King of Kings say, well done. But we'll never hear him say that if we try to trim the message of this book. Beloved, I'm going to tell you something. This book is not about fitting my life. This book is about my life fitting this book. Amen. John the Baptist, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. Graced by God, he boldly declares the Word of God. He battles doubt even in the will of God. He was beheaded in death on his way to God. But I guarantee you this, if you could talk to John today, he'd say, have no regrets. I'm glad I didn't back up. I'm glad I didn't change the message for the King. God's word will stand. Amen. This morning, it's my prayer that every home that's got a godly daddy would find a place today and say, Lord, thank you for my husband. Thank you for my daddy. Thank you for that man in my life that is sent from God. I believe this morning with all of my heart, beloved, listen. God wants us to love one another with a pure heart fervently because he's coming. We're going to need one another. Listen, what's going on in our country right now is just the tip of the iceberg. I'm telling you, there's some cold, icy, rough waters ahead. You mark my word. But the one thing I can take comfort in, Jesus Christ will be the same yesterday and today and forever. Let's bow for prayer.